Hello everyone, Becky Anderson here to let you know that my crowdfunding campaign for Wreck This Deck is live and there's a link in the show notes. Wreck This Deck is a solo journaling and deck crafting game. In this game, you play a deck runner, that's a DIY demonologist, trapping demons in altered playing cards and keeping meticulous notes of your work in your journal. At the end, you should have brilliant microfiction written in your journal and an artifact deck of playing cards that you have altered yourself. I'm funding for a printed zine, new art and layout, and I've revised the original version of the game with more content, such as sample demon profiles and fortune-telling spreads. There's a link to the campaign in the show notes, as I said, and thank you very much for listening. Now, on to the show.
Welcome to Black Armada Tales, an actual play podcast. My name is Josh Fox. My pronouns are he, him. I am your host. And also here today are...
My name is Becky Anderson. I'm using the Ares playbook. My character is Lieutenant Emily Loris, also known as Hellcat. Her pronouns are she, her. My pronouns are she, her. That's me done. Boom.
And you said Lieutenant.
I did say Lieutenant.
You did? Not Lieutenant. Damn, I thought it was Lieutenant.
It is Lieutenant.
Right. My name's Ed Tomlinson. My pronouns are he, him. I'm playing Herman Merman. No, I'm not. I'm playing Dr. Tobias Roy, the Scorpio playbook, and his pronouns are he, him, and so am I.
Hi, everyone. I'm Nick Bate. Tonight I'm playing Commander Sam Buckley, Captain of the Hecate. He is a Taurus. Well, he's the Taurus playbook. I don't know if he's actually a Taurus. Our pronouns are he, him.
Hi everyone, I'm Sue Elliott. I'll be playing the Gemini, Sonia Vega, tonight, and a few other nights. And our pronouns are she, her.
Excellent. And we are playing Last Fleet by Josh Fox, the greatest game designer on earth.
Second greatest.
And most modest.
So I think we better do this mission. Should we just cut to you guys that are in the shuttle? I would like to know, Hellcat, what do you do every time you set off on a mission like this? What little habit have you got which we would observe on camera?
Yeah, I think that many, many years ago, I went on a mission in a shuttle which had a clogged fuel line. And even though I had checked it, and the mechanic or the chief engineer or the engineer on deck had checked it, we only found it when my co-pilot did like a little extra check that was non-standard because they had picked up a habit from something else. Now, I think on a later mission, that co-pilot of mine ended up getting killed. And ever since then, I do this kind of weird little triple check thing on the fuel line that is non-standard just to make sure.
And how can we tell you're doing that?
Okay, I think that there's a fuel line dial. Not exactly a dial. It's not going to be a dial, is it? We're far too high tech for that. There's a fuel line indicator on the main pilot's dash, and I think that there's an unrelated switch below it, which I flick two or three times, because sometimes if the fuel indicator is playing up, then flicking the mechanical switch below it kind of like dislodges any connections in the kind of the wiring in the board. Just that makes sense to people? Like, it's the switch has absolutely nothing to do with it other than the kind of the force of flicking the switch. Sometimes if there's a problem with the fuel light indicator, it can...
Yeah, it's a digital version of like tapping on a thing a few times just to make sure it's actually doing its thing.
It's tapping on a fuel thing to make sure there isn't like an air bubble in it.
Cool.
That's what I do.
Dr. Roy.
Well done, well remembered.
Dr. Roy, you presumably do not do this kind of thing very often, correct?
I guess, I suppose the question is, how have I obtained my samples up to this point if I haven't done it before? Maybe I don't go in this type of ship.
It may be that you do go regularly, you tell me.
Maybe there's some sort of rubbish Star Trek Next Generation version where it's like a shuttle thing that I can go out.
Maybe you don't have very many samples and you've only got them from like one particular mission where you were able to gather some for some reason.
Okay, yeah. Well, yes, I'm definitely inexperienced. And obviously there's lots of military sweat flying around and pheromones.
So what do you, how can we tell what you're feeling as Hellcat readies the ship for jump?
I think that the military, although they are equipped for safety, are moderately more casual about how they wear their gear, whereas I have everything done up like to the T, in, you know, like I've got my helmet done up really tight, my visor's down, you know, all the safety gear's on, I've got like a, my safety backpack that probably doesn't need to be there, that's everything that's optional I've taken in terms of safety gear.
I don't think I'm even wearing a helmet right now.
Yeah, so I think you obviously you would have to do, you do them whatever's required to be mandatory, but I've done mandatory plus optional safety gear.
Sitting bolt upright.
And it's all immaculately clean because it's like a new or something. It would be brand new, I suppose. It would have to be borrowed, I suppose, at this point. But
yeah, but maybe when you were given a choice, you chose the nicest, cleanest looking one.
Yeah. Yeah, I've probably cleaned it as well with wipes.
All right, awesome. So jumping, what happens is the ship actually travels through the Tenebrium, which is the same place where the Korax come from, so it is believed. What's it like to jump through the Tenebrium? I'm actually going to ask someone who's not in this scene, I'm going to ask you, Nick, because you're the frigate commander. It makes sense to me that you would have a good answer to this.
And can I ask a question?
Ask a question.
Does this count as touching or getting close to the Korax?
No. You have to get close enough to them to touch them, I think. Isn't that the wording?
So if I opened the visor and stepped into hyperspace?
It's licking distance, Ed.
Well, we're about to find out whether there's anything nearby that you could touch.
Okay. So it's like not flying. It has to be like a window-to-window type of spot to Shatner.
The wording of the move is when you get close enough to the enemy that you could reach out and touch them. So,
metaphorically or actually physically?
I read that as literal and I wrote the game. So.
All right, fine. Well, you know, just got to check.
It's pulling rank, if ever I heard it. So I haven't given my astronomy talk yet on the Slack.
No, you haven't.
But if you've ever seen pictures of the filamentary structure of dark matter,
oh, all the time.
I'll Google one up in a minute. But it sort of looks like a neural network or like really complicated spider's webs, and I think the Tenebrium looks like that when you're in it. But the color is different. Like these dark matter images, they often put it in black or in white or something, you know, boring like that. I think it is like pinks and teals and like really bright, maybe even kind of almost offensively bright colors, contrasting with the sort of blackness of the space that we've come from. And the ship, a ship moving through the Tenebrium, sails through these filaments like they're not there. So you can see them, but you sort of pass through them as you're passing through the space. And then I think it's probably them that kind of unfolds and release you into normal space.
Cool. And just to answer the implied question that you had a moment ago, Ed, I don't think that those filaments are not the Korax, or at least they're not believed to be. Maybe it could be that you would see them while travelling through the Tenebrium, but you have not at this point. And I think when you enter and leave the Tenebrium, there's a feeling of like your skin crawls the moment it happens, just like goosebumps or somebody walking over your grave, that kind of feeling. It's there and gone in a moment, but it always is a little bit unnerving, particularly when you're going in. Anywho, what's the atmosphere as you travel through the Tenebrium to this place? I'm just curious, like, you two sitting in silence.
It's a pretty standard nitrogen, oxygen, CO2 mix. Well, I think that Hellcat's in a pretty good mood, and I will have been chatting and trying to make the good doctor feel at ease.
I'd probably be trying to take in as much information from the window as possible, whilst making the situation as cordial as possible, and suppressing the nerves.
Okay, so I'm getting kind of forced jollity combined with awkward conversation.
I suppose, like, in the same way when you just like want to take in the situation, but the other person has seen it all before. It's like that, really, isn't it? So you're like very casual about it. I'm probably trying to make the most experience.
Yeah,
so I don't want to be rude, but I also am probably just taking in the situation a bit more than you would, I guess. So you're probably like, oh, you know, what did you have for breakfast? Blah, blah, blah. Something, I guess.
All right, cool. I don't want to play out a lengthy scene in the tenebrium unless either of you actually have something you want to say to each other. So, you know, you flip the jump switch and the filamentous space around you sort of breaks up and reintegrates before your eyes into what, you know, normal looking physical space, and your skin crawls and you're back in normal space.
Are you okay, Dr. Roy? It's a bit of a rougher passage in a ship this size compared to the Hecate.
Yes. Yes, it's unusual. It feels a little closer. I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Well, it's okay to feel a bit unsettled. We don't really know what the tenebrium is or what it does, and although we've got the technology to pass through it, I think that, well, I'm always worried there's something waiting in there that we're not expecting.
Indeed.
And then the Korax came out of it, so what else is in there, right?
True. It's a necessary evil for transport, though. And, you know, it's better to understand these things than to shy away from them, in my experience. There's beauty in there as well.
Yeah, I guess. Honestly, I don't really spend that much time looking at how beautiful it is. I'm mostly just making sure that I'm concentrating on getting us through in one piece, but I can see how you would say that.
Yeah. Perhaps you should take a moment and consider your place in the universe in those moments.
Well, maybe if I'm a passenger, I will, but I don't think you want your pilot taking a moment in there to get distracted and get lost in the tenebrium.
Out of your starboard window, you can see...
That's the right one, isn't it?
The right one or the correct one?
The one on the right-hand side.
It is the one on the right-hand side.
Okay, thank you, Becky. That's helpful. I wouldn't know one from the other, frankly.
Starboard is right, port is left.
If you're facing forwards or backwards?
It's the same. It's the same, yeah.
Surely it's relative to the ship.
You have to be facing the bow, and then starboard's the right, port's the left.
Got it. Okay, cool, cool. Anyway, starboard. On your starboard side, you can see the shape of the Alexander. You haven't obviously jumped directly onto its coordinates. That would be quite dangerous. So it's some distance away from you, but it is visible.
Is it just us two? Surely it's not just us two.
It's just us two.
That was how we defined the mission, and I have chosen to stick to that.
Okay, I am looking around for other people because I probably didn't realise that was the case.
You and your R2 unit, beep, boop, dip, dop.
Is something wrong, Dr. Roy?
I thought there was going to be more backup given the potential situation that you outlined.
Well, we don't have a lot of spare fuel for bringing other people through on this mission. But you shouldn't worry because I gave the captain a promise that I'd be extra careful this time.
Okay. Did you not do that last time?
What?
Is that not normal then, to be extra careful?
The captain doesn't always make me promise that. No.
Is that because it's an assumption that you would be? Or that...
It's because some missions require me to be not careful.
Right. Well, thank goodness you're going to be extra careful this time.
Let's hope I don't need to not be careful.
Yes, and let's hope your assumptions about the ship were wrong and there isn't any Korax on the ship.
I'll fly us in so you can get a closer look.
By the way, we established this is like a sort of shuttle ship rather than a... Or a scout ship rather
yeah,
than
yeah.
a
Yeah, it's a Raptor or a Star Trek shuttle, isn't it?
Yeah, we probably ought to give these things names, but...
I feel like it should have some like short-range weapons, maybe.
Yes, I think it wouldn't be unarmed.
No.
And I think, you know, it might be capable of carrying bigger guns, but the main thing that's different is, apart from it being jump-capable, is that it's not as fast or manoeuvrable as a fighter. So using it in a fight would be quite dangerous if you were up against any proper combat capable ship.
Yeah, in the hands of another pilot, I think that would probably be true.
Sure, well, let's hope you don't have to find that out. So you're guiding yourself in towards the Alexander. I think the Alexander is a kind of lozenge-shaped ship with six hexagonal tubes, tube-shaped things on the back, which are the tanks. Do you want to just describe, what do you want to do here? Like, you're trying to figure out what's...
I'm doing a bit of a reconnaissance flyby to see what the state of the ship is. So Dr. Roy, by the way, my character's being like dead respectful and calling him Dr. Roy and not needling him because she knows that it wouldn't be a good idea to make him feel uncomfortable on a mission like this. Just in case you're wondering why I wasn't doing that. But I think that she is going to do a bit of a flyby to see what the state of things is, especially to see what the state of the landing bay is.
Yes.
And to also kind of get a good sense of how much of the ship, and this I'll be led by you, Josh, how much of the ship is coated in this red weed? Has it increased in size and over the grip? Has it got more of a grip of the ship? Or is it the case that the fuel pods, where the fuel is kept after it's been refined, could be broken into and the fuel like siphoned off with a hose pipe and get away before the Korax can get to us? Because that was the mission that I was given, was to come here and see what the state of the ship was to see if it would be safe to get the fuel.
Mm-hmm. Have I got any equipment that can kind of like Korax binoculars or something so I can...
Korax binoculars.
Some science widgets that I can use to...
Well, I think we've established that your main task at the moment is to develop a Korax detector. So...
Well, this is my prototype I'm trying out.
You can certainly have sensors on board, which may or may not prove to be any good for detecting Korax. Yes, I'm happy for you to have...
Well, I suppose at the moment it's based on my expert eye, so probably it might just be space binoculars, whatever they look like.
All right. So you swing past the Alexander on the side where the docking bay doors are or were, and you can see the blast marks, the craters, and the scoring from where you're... What is it that you actually use to shoot at the doors? Rockets?
Yeah.
Yeah, where your rockets...
Not really sure, to be honest.
Photon torpedoes.
We're packing. I was going to say photon torpedoes feels a bit on the nose.
Torpedoes is good. Your torpedoes went off, but there is no sign of any red weed.
Interesting.
Perhaps this was a snap judgment.
Unlikely, but I could try hailing them. I've been playing too many different games recently where when you talk to people over the radio, they can melt your brain. This is not our experience with the Korax, is it? They can't like infect me with some sort of memetic virus.
That has never happened.
Oh, thank goodness. Okay.
It's what games have you been playing?
So many recently.
Game-melting radio games.
I think Becky's thinking of our last campaign.
I'm thinking of After the War. I'm thinking of some of the stuff that's going on in my solo journaling game, and I just got confused for a moment as to whether we were allowed to talk to them. So, I'm going to hail the ship.
Yeah, cool. So, okay. I don't think this is making a move. I can't think of what move it would be. I think you're just doing a thing.
Well, you can seek out in a ship as a pilot if you're scouting in a ship.
Yes. You can seek things out where it would be appropriate.
How big is this ship? So could we not land and try and find like a hatch or something to get in?
Yep, that's absolutely something you could do.
Let's do that.
Well, I would like to scout and seek out my ship first. Or maybe I don't. Maybe I'm rubbish at seeking out.
I'm going to need...
Well, I suppose I'm seeking out as well. Or am I assisting you on the seeking out? I feel like I'm assisting you with my space binoculars.
It would be my special pilot seeking out.
All right, screw
yeah,
you.
Yeah, but the special pilot seeking out, the idea is that you're doing things like surveying a planet, that kind of thing. Yeah.
All right.
So it's not like you might have some sensors on board for sure.
Well, I mean.
But it's not like magic.
Well, special pilot's eyes, like, you know, like roughly how ships are made up. Like.
Well, maybe you're doing the seeking out then, Dr. Roy.
You might do.
Maybe this is your seek out move and I am doing some cool piloting shenanigans to get you closer.
I think you know the makeup of a ship more than I would, is why I think this you should
true.
Take the lead.
All right, so
whereas
we're not
I might just
out.
Spot something Like you say, oh, I'm looking for this thing that's this shape. And I say,
let's save
oh,
our seeking
look, is that it over
until
there?
We've gotten on the ship then. So, Josh, I'm hailing the ship.
What is a hail? It's just a signal to say we are here.
Yeah, I think there's like a. I think there's like an automated. Oi, oi. I think that there's like an automated ship to ship ping that goes off when we get in range of each other, which you can then follow up with a human based hail.
Yeah, the ship pings back and a voice comes over the comm. This is Captain Scala. Who is that out there?
This is Lieutenant Emily Loris from the Hecate.
Lieutenant? Or should I say Lieutenant?
Shit. This is Lieutenant Emily Loris from the Hecate.
Lieutenant. Thank goodness we thought that we'd been abandoned.
What's your status?
We are adrift. Our engines are not working. We've not been able to jump to join the fleet.
Can I just ask a point of clarification, Josh?
Yes.
I shut their blast doors. I sealed their hangar bay doors, but I didn't disable their jump capability, as far as I'm aware.
As far as you are aware, you have not damaged their jump capability. That's correct.
What's the problem with your jump drives, Captain?
Our engineers have been unable to determine that at this time. We're working on it, but, well, our food supplies are limited, and we had come to the conclusion that we weren't going to be able to last it out. So it's good to hear your voice.
Sure. Well, do you want to open the hangar bay doors? And we'll come on board and see if we can assist.
The doors were damaged.
Oh, no. How did that happen?
We've been unable to open them, although we haven't tried very hard. There's not really been any need. We do have some docking ports you could use to enter directly via ship to ship.
Josh, how long has it been since we left them here?
Yeah, good question.
It's just like when they're saying, we're running out of food. And it's like, but it's only been half an hour. What? That's how it feels to me.
No, well, I don't think he said we're running out of food. I think he said we have limited amounts of food. We didn't think we were going to make it.
Based on the podcast, cat food.
Cat food.
Yeah. Time to break out the dog food. Mm-hmm. Fine.
I touch Emily on the shoulder and say, I'm not sure about this.
I'll put the captain on mute. I know that we disagreed, Dr. Roy, over my course of action, but I can guarantee you that I did not attack their... I did not damage their drives.
Hmm. Is there another way that we can find that's not where they expect us to go?
Absolutely, Doctor. I'm right on it. Captain, we're going to attempt to dock with you. How many souls are still on board?
That's a good question. How many people would be on board a ship like this? Probably not that many, I wouldn't have thought. So I think we've established it's a processing plant, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that it would have a couple of dozen people on it. Does that sound insane to anybody?
Doesn't sound insane. I think part of what I'm looking for in the answer, and maybe you want me to make a seek out roll, is whether he or she, is it he, the captain?
He, yeah. He.
Is he including the fighters?
Right. Yeah. And how many fighters went in?
Two?
Yeah, okay. So he says, we've got a full complement of crew here, plus two crew from the Agamemnon who got stranded on here.
Any Korax activity that we need to be aware of in the area?
No Korax activity here, no. We've not seen anything since the fleet jumped away. We've been concerned, I can tell you, if anything had come, we would have been sitting ducks.
I'm just going to do a flyby of your engines on the outside to see if I can see if we can see any problem from out here, and then we'll come on board.
Understood.
Thank you, Captain. We'll be in touch shortly.
Right, so you're going to fly by where the engines would be.
Yep.
Yeah, there is no sign of damage to the exterior of the ship that you can see. You're not an expert on this particular type of ship, of course. It's a civilian ship, but you can't see anything that looks...
I know what I shot, and it wasn't that.
Yeah, and there's no sign of any damage from anyone else either.
Well, I think that we had better go on board. I'll find a place to set down in a hangar bay, but try not to... You know, I think that, you know, wherever we go, they're going to know we're there. But we'll go to a hangar bay or a docking bay, did you say?
Yeah, so I'm imagining that the the thing that you shot is like a door which is able to open and admit a small ship into this ship, which seems completely bizarre for a fuel processing ship. Nevertheless, we've established in the fiction, so it must be true. Maybe it's for distribution ships. I think that's the logical assumption. But that there are also airlocks, so you can mate your ship's airlock to their airlock and then travel through it in your spacesuits rather than landing the ship inside the other ship. Does that make sense?
Yep.
There's no sneaking into spaceships. This is why I always struggle with spaceships.
I just don't think there is, Ed. Like,
I mean, even if I open a service hatch, it's going to, like, a little light's going to come up on a dashboard somewhere on their ship, isn't it?
I think so. So I think that we just have to head for the airlock.
I mean, you could dock with a different airlock from the one that you claimed you were going to, so that if there's, like, an ambush or something waiting
that's what
for
I'm
you,
trying to avert.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. That sounds cool.
Just misunderstand the instructions and land in a slightly different one, so we're not...
So you're not trying to cover this, or are you? Maybe are you trying to cover something up, do you think? Maybe that's what you're doing? No, I don't think you are, because I think they'll realise what you've done. Hang on, let me just look at the move. Cover up. When you cover up something serious, roll plus smooth, they can buy your deception, or be fooled temporarily, give concrete assurance, or realise you're up to something. I don't think that sounds right. I think this is more of a...
Is it shake it off, Josh?
Yes, that's what I think. You're trying to shake off a potential threat. Do you know what? I don't think... I'm just going to be honest and say that there's no need to roll here.
Okay.
You can do it, and it's fine, but... Yeah, let's just say let's say they've got an airlock on either side of the ship, maybe, so you can, or one at the head end and one at the tail end of the ship. I think they would have wanted you to dock at the head end, therefore you have actually docked at the tail end. And as you dock, the radio will come on and Captain Scarlet's voice will say, "Lieutenant Loris, you seem to have docked with the wrong airlock. Everything okay there?"
Can I come up with just a plausible reason as to why? I'll just say, yeah, we just swung by the back of your engines to see if there was any visible damage or problems from out here before docking. So it seems the nearest place.
Okay, sure. Well, send someone down there to greet you. They might take a few minutes to get
to you.
Can you
hurry up because I need the bathroom?
Who is that?
This is Dr. Roy, our scientific advisor.
The Dr. Roy?
Indeed, the same.
Wow. Well, we'll hurry, Dr. Roy. Anywho, you dock with the... Obviously, you've already docked with the airlock at this point. That's how he knew you were in the wrong place. And the lock swings open. You come out in a corridor on this ship.
Well, I am packing some weapons, and I'm going to take point.
What weapons are you packing? Do you look like a marine from Aliens or what?
I'm packing sidearms.
I'm probably carrying a very delicate sci-fi, smooth sci-fi pistol in my hip holster. No, it's probably a leg holster. It's the thigh holster.
Ankle holster.
Well, these ships are designed to very clearly indicate the direction towards the front of the ship and the direction towards the back of the ship. There's a simple sort of striped arrow design on the walls every so often so that you can always orient yourself. Where are you heading? Or are you waiting for someone to come and find you?
I'm going to say to Dr. Roy, I assume you don't really need the bathroom.
I still think it's prudent to use the facilities.
I had hoped you were saying that to buy us some extra time.
Indeed.
So I reckon we've got about 5 minutes before somebody gets here. If there's going to be a Korax infestation on this ship, Dr. Roy, in your opinion, where would it be manifesting right now?
I really want to say the gents, but... I would suspect it would be in the engine room.
Source of food, you think? Right, let's head down there.
Okay.
Rolls, Korax law. Yes, the engine room.
How are you proceeding? Like, you know, are you kicking down doors or are you moving slowly and carefully?
Moving quickly and carefully.
Yeah, see, sorry, I was thinking of like Bender from the Breakfast Club climbing through the ceiling thing, but maybe that's too... They know we're there, so that just wouldn't work.
So just kind of swiftly and with a purpose so that anybody who sees us thinks that we're meant to be there.
Yeah, so I think we're going to try and look like we are official and...
I don't think you encounter anybody en route. It's quite quiet. Like, there's the usual low-level hum that you get from these big ships, but you don't hear any sign of life and you don't see anybody.
Is this normal?
I don't spend a lot of time on fuel refineries, but I'd expect to see some more people.
I think the captain's voice comes on over the intercom and says, "Lieutenant, I can see you on the ship's closed circuit television network. You seem to be heading in the wrong direction."
Dr. Roy wants to check out the engine. Thinks he might have an idea about how to fix your problems. The sooner we can get you back with the fleet, the better, right?
I thought Dr. Roy was a scientist, not an engineer.
I'm multidisciplinarian.
You asked for it, Captain.
I have skills in
engineering. How many degrees you've got?
I have 14 degrees in every scientific and engineering discipline you can possibly imagine. Now stop wasting my time. Do you want to get out of here or not?
See what I have to deal with, Captain.
There is a pause, a significant pause. And he says, I cannot advise you to interfere with the engines. Surely you should bring a qualified engineering staff member.
I'm sorry, I'm confused. What are you trying to say?
Can you assume that we're continuing to proceed swiftly?
Yeah.
While this conversation is happening and that we haven't just like stopped in the corridor?
You have the most highly qualified person in the fleet, engineering, science or otherwise. Do you have anyone better on the ship?
No, but you do. Can't you bring someone over from Agamemnon?
We need to do recce first.
And I also don't like your tone, sir.
Doctor, please. This is the good captain's ship. We're here to be as helpful as possible. You can have your people meet us in engineering. We won't touch anything. He's just going to do some investigations.
Yes, yes, of course. The intercom goes dead.
I think we need to pick up the pace, Doctor.
Thanks for listening. We've been playing Last Fleet by me, Josh Fox. You can find links to Last Fleet and all of the rest of our stuff in the show notes. And don't forget that Becky's game Wreck This Deck is currently crowdfunding on BackerKit, and there's a link to that in the show notes also. See you next time.
How you doing, Sue?
All right.
Keeping it real?
Have you had a chance to look through all those Savage Worlds
the
books
swag.
Yet?
Well, I was going to tell you about that, actually, because there is a Grognard Files episode just recently where they've just been going through Savage Worlds basic set and then all the expansions. And I've always loved the Deadlands setting. And I've always been attracted to the game because of all this. They've got such good settings books.
Mm.
I'm sort of thinking, well, maybe I could run it. I could run it, maybe. But I'm trying to encourage somebody. I'm trying to encourage the local people to run it, run games rather than me running them. Because
okay, yeah.
But I quite like the idea of an action heavy game. I think they're quite fun. Sometimes it can be a bit cerebral. It's good if you're sort of running around shooting people on trains and stuff. It can be quite fun.
I also think the combat. I mean, I haven't played many systems, but mm-hmm. I thought the combat in Savage Worlds was so much fun.
Yeah, because it can deal with all sorts of big scale problems. What they said was, it can deal with like escalating, and it can deal with chases and stuff, which is normally a real headache for GMs. Like, it's quite interesting. These are sort of classic GM headaches that it addresses. I think I'd probably be up for running it or giving it a try anyway.
Yeah, I played, we played a couple of Deadlands campaigns, and I had a character who was basically Martin Short's character from the Three Amigos. It's great.
Did you even do the...
yeah. All of that horrible sort of, yeah.
Nice.
Sort of pastiche of a cowboy outfit and like...
So you're
like
a bit of a try-hard.
Deadly sharpshooter,
yeah.
but kind of like as a sideshow character. But yeah, it was great.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is also that setting is great because everyone can immediately tap into like a ton of mental resources to create their character, right? So, yeah. I ran a Clink. Clink is it's an interesting game. It's a dice. The system is a dice flipping mechanic. So I suppose the idea is that it's like in the Wild West and you're flipping coins to make decisions. Okay. But I did. It was a kind of Deadlands-y thing that I came up with. It was like a kind of haunted railway town thing that they had to deal with.
Classic.
So you just immediately fall into Deadlands. Is like a setting that I've not really played myself, but like I can see there's so much material there in my head that I could tap into. So yeah, I look forward to that. Look forward to giving it a go. Yeah, so the Grognard Files, they did two episodes. So I'm on the second episode. They're looking at the settings now. So you never know. I might end up buying a load of extra source books. You might have just... It's like one of those horror movies where you pass on a book and then you end up buying more role-playing books off the back of the book.
They're looking at the Suede version, presumably, like the newest one, rather than the... Explorer's Edition.
I thought Explorer's Edition was the one they mentioned was... So somebody created a source book and then they did the Explorer's Edition, which was the newer version. So is there a new version, is there?
I think Adventurers... Savage Worlds Adventurers Edition is the most recent one, I think.
There is something to be said for numbers. For all that it's
absolutely.
What has happened to your voice, Nick?
What has happened to my voice?
It's gotten...
It's very resonant.
Godly,
almost, I would say.
Nothing has changed as far as I'm aware.
Did you ascend while you went to get tea?
You sound totally different.
I really hope you don't need this recording as well, Josh, my backup recording, because I thought I'd paused it and I was mid-wee and then I thought I'd better check. So you've got like half of my wee in there, so I'm going to have to...
I'm gonna have to
edit it out before I send it over.
That's the stinger right there, isn't it, people?
I shouldn't have probably said that now, should I?
Just
should
the
have probably,
sound of Ed's wee.
Ed midstream.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you're going to be safe with this audio recording, which I also took into the toilet.
You wanted to make sure you had a backup.
Yeah, you don't want to miss any moment.
Very wise.
Yeah,
I interrupted you, Sue. I'm sorry. The Adventurers Edition is the most...
Oh yeah, I think Adventurers Edition is the most recent, and Explorers Edition is the one before that.
Right.
So I sent you the Explorers Edition, like basic rules, mm-hmm. and all the Deadlands books that work with the Explorers Edition. So you can run stuff like with those books.
Yeah, it's fine.
I don't think there are a huge number of changes. I think they did stuff to the Shaken rules or something, but I'm not entirely
sure. Are you
converting
Ed to Savage Worlds?
I'd give it a go. I would quite like to play like an action, a very heavy action. It does a lot of action stuff, and I quite like the idea of having systems that can handle it quite well. Maybe, yeah. Or maybe that's just in my mind.
Or maybe we should have an action-heavy run on the pod. You could run us some Savage Worlds. Or what's the other game that I think of when I think action? Feng Shui, but that's like super old. I don't know whether it's still...
Oh, there's a new edition.
Is there?
Yeah. I had a fun couple of games of Savage Worlds some years ago. I read it and thought I'd understand why people think this is cool, and then I played it and went, that's why.
So, it's fun, is it?
Yeah. This was... Before the Explorers Edition, it was a long time ago.
It's fast, furious, and fun, Ed.
Yeah, I've never really encountered it. And I come from the position of, like, is it GURPS? Which, like...
Oh, no, it's not GURPS.
No, it's not GURPS. No.
So GURPS, the concept is dry as shit. But some of the source books that came out are extremely useful resources for other games, right? So
I feel like it's as if... Like, Fate, Cortex, and Savage Worlds are all kind of in the same space of trying to take a traditional model for a role-playing game and zhuzh it up with some interesting mm-hmm. kind of currencies and things that allow you to do interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. And I would say Savage Worlds is at the crunchy end of those three.
Okay.
And Fate's at the light end. But they're all kind of trying to do a similar-ish kind of thing.
I think that's fair, yeah.
I got away with it.
Yeah, I quite like the sound of the fact that they can deal with certain elements of games that are a nightmarish in old traditional role-playing games, like huge battles or chases, or there are sort of things that they sort of designed it to sort of handle these things, which are, and I do know that there are gamers that enjoy a very heavy action-based game that would get quite a lot out of it, I think.
Have you not just thought about hacking D&D 5th edition to do that, Ed?
Well, it's interesting because I had a conversation with Josh towards the end of the evening where I was like, oh, I'm really enjoying it, but I think I find certain elements of it extremely systematic and frustrating. Oh, no, you're like 5 feet short of like doing something really interesting, so you have to wait another turn, or your reaction is, you're out of initiative sequence, so your action doesn't happen at the right cinematic time, so it all seems a bit disjointed. So, and right, yeah, combat takes a long time. So if you're up for it.
Yeah, I'm up for it.
Or D&D.
You know me, I'll play anything.
Play D&D. Well, I want to give World of Dungeons another go and just run through some classic adventures, if you want to do that.
Yes. Like you said this before, and every time I say yes, I'm just waiting for you to schedule it. I just need a third player.
Just need a third player.
What, to play World of Dungeons?
Nick, Sue, Josh, World of Dungeons. Me. I don't know.
I'll
anybody.
Play World of Dungeons. I mean,
yeah. I'll play anything with this group.
Yep.
This is the best group.
We could do Black Armada Tales does, and then like a series of much more trad systems than we've done before. It'd be amazing.
As our listenership switches to completely different,
no, we'll
get bigger
reach.
We'll
just indie the fuck up with it. That's what we'll do.